One of the reasons I'm so passionate about our Lenten theme is because, one, I know children who I am in relationship with who are on a beautiful, really difficult journey of gender exploration, and that journey is not difficult inherently. It's difficult because of the world that we live in. And so that began kind of my own personal exploration to educate myself, to understand the landscape, the language. And through that journey, I just discovered some horrible statistics of what life is like for children in the LGBTQIA community, and the suicide rates being just so incredibly high. I actually learned yesterday that if you are under the age of 13, when you come out with your identity, you're actually like twice as likely to attempt suicide. But with all of those statistics that are just really overwhelming and horrible, the flip side of that is how impactful it is to have an affirming community surrounding you. Like, just one person in someone's life, a young person's life, can reduce their risk of suicide by 30%. Like, one person. And so for me, it's worth the risk of having a Lenten study that kind of makes us feel upside down and dizzy and topsy-turvy. Because I do feel like it's one thing to say, yes, I support this piece of legislation, or I love this individual. It's another thing to like go through that wilderness journey together of like really questioning what gender is. What is this binary that we created? Is this historically accurate? Has it always been this way? Why is it this way now? What does it mean that I use she, her, and that I say that I'm a woman? Not just the negative things that society kind of boxes us in, but like the beautiful things. And on the flip side for me, full disclosure, what's the sacredness of masculinity? And how does that play into my identity, that strength, when most of the experiences I've had with masculinity haven't always been positive? Shedding all of these layers was the answer to my concern or my question of what does this have to do with Lent? I really enjoy and love CORE at the conference. I think that they are an amazing teacher and have been learning from them for a long time. So in all honesty, when I saw that this study was happening, that was kind of my first thing of like, this would be a great way to really join us with the conference, to be able to learn from this amazing human being. And a few weeks in, it became clear to me why this was a Lenten journey. Because most of us who are doing it feel completely lost in the wilderness. Who am I? And where did this come from? And what does this mean? And how horrible it is that such a fragile social construct is causing children to wish that they weren't alive anymore. And here we are in the wilderness. And all I can think about is what a gift this journey is, this Lenten season. Because so often I feel like we have to manufacture the experience. We have to say, okay, well, this is the spiritual practice I'm going to do, and this is going to connect me to God, or this is my goal. I'm going to read scripture every day, or I'm going to pray every day, or I'm going to fast. And we do or do not do it. It's really not important. We're always connected to God, whether we are fasting or not fasting. But I felt Christ in my room lately because I felt so lost and sad. And what I've been thinking about with this scripture in particular that we're going to turn to in a minute is how suffering is the sign that something is wrong. And if we have a sign that something is wrong, it means for me that underneath all of the messiness and clutter that is the ridiculousness right now of some of the stuff that's happening in our country, underneath all of that, there is what is right. That is the foundation. That the suffering means that something is wrong. But because there is something wrong, it means that the story of God, this idea of resurrection, this thing that we talk about all the time, that love wins, that love has already won, that is true. Because we know in the brokenness of our hearts that we are not whole. That somewhere along the way, we have lost this truth, that we have lost touch with this story. And remembering that story, connecting ourselves to, through the suffering, to the reality of the goodness in the world that has already been victorious, is the work that Paul calls us to in the scripture this morning. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, he speaks to his community and says, "So from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Being reconciled to God moves us to reconcile with one another. To reconcile with one another requires learning to see through the eyes of the divine, which results in seeing things in new ways, unfamiliar ways, topsy-turvy, upside-down ways, which can be scary, jarring, unsettling, and uncomfortable. One might even say it mimics the experience of suffering, of loss, of death. And Easter is one way to process suffering. It is one way to go through and rise above. But there are alternative models to this as well, to separate and pull oneself apart from the whole, to cling on to what was or what we think should be so tightly that we strangle the possibility of resurrection in our lives. But the scripture reorients us not to what was or what we think things should be, but to the reality that old patterns of living have passed. What you think was real is no longer real. Believers are not supposed to walk as they formerly did. We are supposed to show up and be transformed. And my question to us is, how has this community changed us? How are you different this year, because you show up on Sunday, because you learn and listen to one another, because your hearts have been broken over and mended back together. This work of seeing that the old is becoming new requires reconciliation in the social setting of family and friendship. These environments where there has been a restoration of a broken relationship. And we can break relationships with our silence even further, with our apathy even more, with our fear, to places that feel irreconcilable. Or We can learn what has become made new around us and reconcile ourselves to that reality. In these choices of our Lenten journey, the choices of whether we close our eyes and stop listening, whether we disregard the realities of people who are forced into exile into the wilderness, or whether we choose to open our eyes and listen to the stories and follow them into that wilderness, or whether we sit in our bubbles and say, that's weird, and refuse to move our feet. Regardless of the choices that we make at any one point, this scripture tells us that love is the narrative that has already won. And we don't need everyone in the wilderness for love to win. It's already happening. When we see all of the horrible things that are happening in the world, our call is to remember that this has happened before and it will happen again, over and over again. These are the villains in the story. These are the people calling out to us to remind us to show up and speak out. Because God is already victorious in calling all people, every person, into the kingdom that is unfolding all around us. This is what Christ's death shows for us, for the people in the wilderness. God is for them. Christ sides with them. All of these people, all of these children that are wandering in the wilderness are sharing in Christ's death. They are brought to newness in life. Christ's death is the transformative event for all life. And the whole of creation longs for this freedom. And the children of God already experience what is not seen, but is promised to this planet. A new way of seeing and understanding. A new way of knowing and connecting. That love will overcome whatever horrors ravage the world. That life is eternal and that narrative is ongoing. That hatred comes and goes in all different forms, but it goes. That love prospers and renews. This is the real story. Fiona and I are watching again, not by my choice, by her choice, Hunger Games. And if you haven't seen it, there are two main characters at the end of this whole very long series who have been through, let's just say, a lot. Understatement of the year. And because they have been through so much, they have a hard time remembering what's real and what's not real. And so there's this beautiful scene at the end where they're lying together. And one character says to another, you love me. Real or not real? And the other character laying alongside them says, real. Summarized in a few words, this could be 2 Corinthians. This could be resurrection. This could be our Lenten journey. That at the end of the story, it will only matter what evil came up because it will be the story of what we overcame. It will be the story of what we faced, of what inspired us, what transformed us. And our job throughout that journey is to remind each other what story is real because we have not lost. We will not lose. Love has already won, which is evidenced by the suffering, because we know that something is wrong. Suffering at its essence is a pain, a grief, an alarm, signaling that we are not right, that we are not whole. And if love had not already won, all of the suffering would be numb. But suffering says something is out of place in a story that long ago unfolded, and we must reconcile ourselves to that story, to the story that sees the hatred and the brokenness and the evil as powerless and weakness and hopeless. Because in the wake of resurrection, the battle to deny rights, to destroy personhood, is completely futile. And during Lent, we feel the suffering. We reconcile ourselves to the suffering of the world to remind ourselves where we are and why we are here. And we reconcile ourselves to the ridiculousness of resurrection. Because the resurrection in real life is a reminder that the story of love has already won. And all the rest is just noise leading us to the wilderness to remind us who we are. Amen.